I'm the strawberry.
And I'm the biscuit.
And this is a Steven Universe podcast. Hello, we're back.
Yay!
Sorry for such a long break.
I was out of town.
And, you know, that happens sometimes.
Yeah.
But we came back in a big way to talk about Steven Universe, woo! The greatest TV show that we're watching right now for a podcast.
I feel like the greatest TV show I've ever seen for kids, like...
Yeah, I think I could... I mean, SpongeBob is pretty cool and all.
I don't know if SpongeBob measures to this.
No, it doesn't. Especially when it face-planted.
Yeah, that's something I hope for Steven Universe, just sidebar, that, like, it ends, like, gracefully, and it doesn't just keep going forever indefinitely.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to think of it having a finite end, but as just shows work, that's kind of what we've got to do at some point.
Yeah, so. Especially because it has such a, this is minorly spoilery, but, like, such a... like, intense overarching plot.
It gets more complex as it goes along.
Yeah, so it's not the kind of thing like SpongeBob where you can just keep churning out episodes if you don't have that big story.
Yeah, especially with fans now, you really want it to go somewhere and everything to have meaning.
Yeah.
So
I feel like endings are as important as beginnings, you know.
But we're still here back at the beginning in season one.
Season one, episode 23 and 24.
Yeah, we watched today Monster Buddies and an Indirect Kiss, which are two very good ones and start, I know we always kind of say this, but I think it starts the ball rolling with some of the bigger concepts and kind of starts easing Steven into some of these ideas that grow just to a massive scale to the point where the show is now.
Yeah. Very true. So, Monster Buddies is a revisit of someone we've seen before, which is the Centipedal from the first episode.
Yeah, very first sort of monster
that they ever fought was Centipedal.
And they bubbled her and put her in the volcano temple room.
Yeah.
And this episode starts with them... you know, fighting another monster in this sort of ice cave, and it's very dangerous, and there's kind of cave-in happening.
Yeah, and so Garnet, in an attempt to save Steven, bubbles him and sends him to the room with all the other bubbled gems.
Right, which is pretty crazy.
And Petal's like, Garnet, no!
Yeah, because you're watching it, you're like, does this work? But yeah, so he's in there, and he pops out of his bubble, and in doing so, also pops out Centipedal.
Something really cool about when Centipedal just pops out of her bubble is that she forms the silhouette of a human kind of figure.
Yeah.
And then becomes the Centipedal itself.
Well, she takes on a couple for us. You kind of see like she's trying to form something, and so there's that, and then she gets to like the bigger size when they first fought her, and then ends up as almost sort of like a little dog or cat kind of sized centipedal creature on all fours, so it's a little smaller, a little less aggressive.
And Steven, being Steven, doesn't automatically attack it.
He
sort of starts talking to it and tells it to calm down, and it does. And it's so sweet, and it's so Steven. It's so quintessential Steven that his first reaction is not to fight, and it's to sort of make friends. And the gems come, and their first reaction is immediately, like, very defensive, and they pull out their weapons, and they're scared. And in doing so, they scare the Centipedal, and Steven saves it.
Yeah, and he kind of convinces them to let him try to make friends with it because it was working, and sends them off because their weapons and their...
they're being too aggressive.
Yeah, everything is scaring Centipedal. So they leave, and he has a little moment. And he figures out something that actually works.
Which is feeding it chips. Or chips.
Yeah, so basically in a, like, do a thing, get a treat kind of mix, he becomes friends.
He trains it because he gets attacked by a seagull, And it saves him.
And so then anytime he makes seagull noises, it'll spray acid at anything.
And he's like, I trained it. It's my friend now. And immediately starts destroying everything.
Yeah.
So Garnet is like, oh, this could help us with the cave-in. Because, you know, we want to get through there without causing more of a cave-in. And if we throw acid at the problem, maybe we could make a tunnel. And so that's exactly what they do.
Yeah, they work their way through, and it's kind of, it becomes like a little game of, like, you know, if you ever gotten a new pet and you figure out that it'll do one trick, you just have them do that trick over and over again. And so he just runs through the caves throwing acid everywhere. And then they find they're looking for a shooting star that has fallen.
Yeah.
And they find it. But
Garnet has to pull out her gauntlets to hold it because, as Pearl explains, it's really dangerous. And so when Garnet pulls out her gauntlets, immediately the centipede gets scared again because it's someone drawing their weapon.
And it's like, I really like how they communicate it because it's really clear to the audience that centipede is scared of the gauntlet because it recognizes that as something that would hurt it.
Been used against it before.
Yeah, but for the people standing in the room, they can't figure out why centipede is freaking out, seemingly out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And so you kind of see them not knowing what's going on, but us, we're like, oh, it's because of the gauntlets, it doesn't get it.
And again, Steven tries to protect the centipede, but all the gems are just too nervous and too scared and start sort of attacking her.
Yeah, they assume that she's attacking Steven in the room and everything, so they just start sort of
throwing punches.
Yeah, beating it the way that they normally do in a fight.
Yeah.
But it's a really interesting twist because it's, like, we've seen them kind of kick the shit out of other creatures, like, a lot, and it's normally seen as, like, cool or them being badass.
Yeah.
And in this one, because they gave it sort of a
character.
Yeah, they gave it a character, they make it a friend, they make it seem like a puppy.
Yeah.
So that when you see it getting kicked, you react like someone's kicking a puppy in front of you.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, you relate to Steven so much because he's like, no, stop, you just don't understand. And,
yeah.
And he actually, like, hugs the centipede and is like, you're not a monster and you're good. And we have, like, so many memories together and you're my friend. And the episode actually ends with centipede saving his life from a falling sharp rock.
Yeah, and again, they draw it out much more than they do normally. Because normally something will, usually like a punch or something falling on a creature,
yeah.
and it will just like, it'll just sort of poof, almost like a bubble popping.
Yeah.
But in this one, you see like the light drain from her
eyes,
and just like slowly fall, like, and then poof. And
yeah.
It's like a death scene.
And Steven's crying.
Yeah. They make it much more drawn out.
Yeah. Because Centipede's death is significant, unlike the other monsters that they've fought. Steven has bonded to it.
You see more that it's
not just a monster.
Attacks
yeah.
out of like fear and response.
Yeah.
And so then it kind of makes you retroactively think back of like, what about the other ones? Or,
yeah.
You know.
Just this very episode, they were fighting a gem monster.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so you're like, what if that one at the beginning, what if that was like centipedal and it was just scared? And so, yeah, it starts
Which
opening
is
this sort of
a very
like, complex,
Steven way to look at it. You
yeah,
know?
Morality kind of thing.
Yeah. The episode ends with Steven actually bubbling Centipede's gem. And it's the first time he's bubbled anything,
yeah,
which is really cool.
Yeah, it's a big moment for him. And I like that he does it, it's kind of instinctively done because he wants to, like,
protect
it.
Yeah.
And so I like that.
Yeah, it's really sweet.
Steven and his protection.
I love Steven so much. He's probably my favorite character, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, she ends up bubbled for a later date. They're hoping that...
he can help her.
Yeah, they're like, all these ones that we bubbled... sorry, something is beeping. Okay, apologize. All the ones they bubbled, they say they haven't figured out how to help them yet, but keeping them bubbled is like this sort of stasis.
Yeah.
And hopefully one day they can do it. But if they're out in the world, then they'd be kind of
dangerous.
Wrecking stuff. And
yeah.
So it's a sort of
It's for their own protection.
Yeah, it's like a for now kind of deal. It's a good episode.
Yeah, it's really sweet. And it starts bringing in some themes of Steven Universe that continue to be big themes in the show, which is, like, as you were saying, the morality and the, like why is our first reaction to attack and questioning their actions?
Yeah, well, and also, I mean, we know now a lot of it because we've seen the whole show. Yeah. But at the time, the gems do a lot of stuff, and Steven
doesn't question it.
Yeah, it's like, it's just his normal life and this is how it works, and if the gems attack these big monsters that come out of the ocean, then that's how it works.
That's what they do.
And so, you're kind of learning with him maybe why the gems are doing it, or what some of the truth is behind it,
Which, it also has a more, like, meta level where we are watching it and we're just like, oh yeah, they have an enemy and they're attacking it. We never question it that much. And it's causing us, the audience, to question it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
And it's really good.
This chunk of episodes for, like, this week and next week, and kind of a lot of them deal with that idea of, like, what gems are and how they work, and if there are, you know, we always see it from the crystal gem side, if, like, are there any others, and
and you know, that's really normal if your parents do something, you don't really question it, and then later on you might hear, like, what, like, your parents do that, and it's like, oh, is that weird, like,
exactly, if that's how your world works, then
you don't really question it,
right? Why would you? Until you get some of your own experiences.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it's very good.
So that was Monster Buddies, and now we're going to talk about Indirect Kiss.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this is one of my favorite episodes, which I say a lot, but, you know, I was actually introducing this show to one of our friends, and every episode I'd be like, oh my god, I love this episode, and they'd be like, you say that every time. That's like, this show is just really good.
I mean it every
just
time.
Just bear with me. Oh my god.
Uh-huh.
So, you want to start us off on an Indirect Kiss?
Sure. So, Indirect Kiss, we started out with Steven and Connie having, like, a little picnic, hanging out on the hill above the temple, and Steven is clearly just, like...
Not having a good day.
He's super bummed out. Like, the kind of bummed where you just don't even... You want to, like... You just kind of flop onto your bed and just be like, I don't want to talk. And of course, Connie's... crying, and she wants to figure out the whole story.
And she's also like, is this fence new? Because there's a fence around the cliff. And he's like, it's a long story.
Yeah, so he starts recounting kind of the previous day or so when Amethyst was playing up on the hill and making him nervous because he loves her and doesn't want her to get hurt.
I love that scene so much. Like, a lot of the... this episode is just Steven being emotional and it not being a thing. Uh-huh. Like, him being, her being like, what, you care about me or something? And he's like, yes!
Yep.
Like, you know, what's wrong with that?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And she, of course, falls off the cliff because...
Because of course.
Yeah. And she lands on a rock, just gem first, and puts a crack in it, which is the first time we've seen that happen.
Yep.
And the other gems kind of run out and they're clearly worried because
one of her eyes is like a googly eye.
Yeah, it's gigantic and it's googly. And they start talking about how they used to fix cracks with Rose's quartz. She had a healing power.
Yeah, her tears would heal.
Healing tears, yes.
So Steven starts trying to cry, and he's like, oh, I guess I'm just too tough to cry.
And they're like, yeah, right.
And Pearl's like, just yesterday you were crying about snakes. They don't have any arms. Oh my god, I love him so much.
He always, with him crying at TV, it always makes me think of my dad, because that was our running joke too, is that he cries at the drop everything. Of the hat.
Oh my god, that's Wilford, my boyfriend.
Uh-huh.
Oh my god, like... He'll cry at, like, ads. Like,
we'd watch Hallmark commercials and my dad was crying at it. It was the greatest. And so,
tears up at everything.
I'd always put in a new movie and try to, like, guess the scene where he'd start crying. But anyway.
We're just, like, shaming them.
No, we loved it. It's one of my favorite things.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite things about Wilford, too.
But anyway, they can't get him, or he can't cry, and so they try to go to this
fountain.
Rose has this sort of sanctum fountain garden kind of place, which apparently I hadn't thought about it too much before, but I think there's a lot of these sort of rose monuments or sacred places, because we had the moss earlier. That she's sort of left across the world.
You can cut this out if this is spoilery, but did we also see her armor yet?
Yeah,
we did.
Yeah, he went with Connie.
Oh, yeah. So, but do we know that it's her armory?
I guess not. Yeah, because it has rose symbol everywhere.
Yeah, and it has the three laser-like cannons, too.
So. Exactly, yeah. So we've had three places that are sort of rose-related. Yeah. And so Pearl immediately, like, loses her shit because
it's covered in thorny vines.
Yeah, it's like it's a rose place, and she's always very, like,
attached
to a point of just, like, she, like, reveres it almost.
Yeah, it's almost like, her leader, almost she, religiously, like.
She gets a little zealoty about any rose stuff.
Zealoty, that's.
And.
Exactly what it is.
I think we'll pop back into this a little bit in our spoiler section about some of the whys, but she gets very upset, and her and Garnet proceed to try to find a way through all these thorns to get to the fountain.
And meanwhile, Amethyst is getting worse.
her gem kind of is cracking a little more.
She's starting to talk backwards.
Her body parts are kind of switching around or loosening.
It's actually really funny.
It is very funny.
Her face switches with her foot, and at one point, all the gems look over, and the foot also looks over.
One of my favorite bits. I do like when things will get like a little trippy. It's like there's a part where she like her face switches from the front to the back as she's walking forward and starts like walking back, but
it switches the direction in which she's like facing, and so she walks into a rock instead of walking away from it. It's like very trippy. It's some cool animation.
And all this time Steven's trying to cry, but it's getting more and more upset. Yeah.
So they finally make it through the thorny vines, and Garnet punches a rock through it, so, and they reach the fountain, but it's not, there's no water flowing.
Yeah, just like the rest of it, everything's just sort of dried up or thorny, and so, like, once again, Pearl and Garnet go off to fix it, and Amethyst is just getting worse and worse. Like, her limbs are spreading out all noodly. And
the vines are kind of attacking, too.
Yeah, then they have this sort of life to them.
Yeah.
They're attacking, and Steven's trying to keep them away from her gem.
Yeah. And there are lots of statues of Rose all over this fountain. There's the main one in the middle, and then there's, like, a couple around the rim of it, like, sitting there. And he's talking about how he's starting to feel emotional about how he's never met his mom and all this stuff. Oh,
but he can't cry.
Yeah. By the way, several times during all of this, it cuts back to him telling the story to Connie, and them drinking juice and stuff, and like he's him trying
swapping
on
glasses.
Give me one second.
Inji's joining the group here.
Excuse me, Kat. Go over here.
Okay.
So he's telling Connie the story, and they're still at their picnic, and he actually puts on her glasses and gets a headache from them. She's like, she actually asks him for his juice, and he's like, only if you let me try on your glasses and stuff. And so anyway. Actually when he's telling
her, and that goes absolutely nowhere, and don't worry about it again. It's fine.
And actually when he's telling her about, how he's never met his mom and all that stuff, and talking to the statue of her, it cuts to Connie kind of tearing up, which is really sweet.
Yeah. He kind of unburdens some junk of just like, I never met you, but everybody in my life knows you, and they all have these really strong
expectations.
And they all felt very strongly about Rose, and they all kind of had their own connection to her, and it's also strong from them, and because he never met her, he doesn't have any, like, personal knowledge of her, and so he doesn't know how to feel about her, and how it, like, he wishes that, like, he knew her, because then maybe he'd be crying now, and it's really sad.
It's really
like,
sweet.
I mean, it's this kind of thing, I think a lot of probably kids who never knew one of their parents, but they were beloved. You know, it's that kind of thing of do you have to live up to them, or or what do people, do they want you to be like your mom, or, you know, kind of thing. And it's,
It's beautiful.
It is. And he does, he ends up crying because loves Amethyst so much.
And Amethyst seems to be, like, really going, and he starts to cry, but it doesn't seem like his tears do anything at first, but then the fountain comes to life, and he's like, oh my god, I saved you, and stuff, and, but then Garnet and Pearl come back, and they're like, actually, we unclogged the fountain, you know.
Right.
So we saved her.
It seems like Amethyst is okay, she's healed, the whole garden we see in its splendor, it's just all roses and beautiful.
Yeah, and all the vines disappear when the tears come.
Yeah, they bloom and they turn into, like, roses. And so we kind of, it's one of those, like, happy endings, but unsatisfying for Steven because Amethyst's okay, but
he doesn't have magic healing powers.
Right. So he finishes that up, kind of explaining why he's sad
to Connie.
And they have a moment, which
I totally forgot that this happened.
It is like very much like they're about to kiss kind of moment.
And they like lean in close, and then suddenly Connie gets a headache from her own glasses,
mm-hmm.
and she realizes that because they shared a juice box, his spit healed her.
Has healing spit.
And so he gets really excited about it. But there is something that happens right before that where he says to her that, if he's not magical, then maybe he can't hang out with the gems and can't go on adventures. And Connie says, well, I'm not magical. And, you know, that
doesn't mean... Go on adventures with me.
Yeah, you can still hang out with me. And the episode actually ends with Connie popping the lenses out of her glasses and putting them back on.
Again, it's... I love Connie's sort of practical side, where she's like, what do I tell my parents? What do I do? Like,
what do I tell my optometrist?
I'm now just healed. And so she just pops out the lenses and puts the frame back on. Just like, all right, that'll work. It's really interesting. I do love that Connie is so important because it has this sort of, Steven has a foot in both worlds.
Yeah.
Of like, he loves the gems and he can be a gem. But he also loves humans, and he can be a human. Like, he's got a little on both sides.
Yeah, and his human relationships are just as important as his gem relationships.
Which, like, is such a great way to, like, frame it.
Yeah.
Of, you know...
That he's not one or the other.
Yeah, because I feel like there's so many times that being half and half, you feel like, you know, a man with no nation kind of thing. Of like, well, I don't belong to that group, but I don't belong to this group, so where do I belong? Instead, he's like, I love people on this side, and I love people on that side. And I can do this one, and then I can do this one.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he has some insecurities about it sometimes, but the show always frames it as a positive.
Yeah.
Which is really great.
There's only one of you.
Mm-hmm. And everyone loves
you. Sometimes that's lonely, but sometimes that's just beautiful and original.
Exactly.
Yeah. I really want to talk spoiler stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot
I want to talk about, because there's quite a bit of foreshadowing, if I do say so.
I'm happy to move on to spoilers. Before we do, though, I wanted to, just a little quick, I can't remember if I've done this before, but I like to kind of talk about gems. Anytime we see a new gem, talk about their real world stone and kind of some of the lore that people have about it and see if it matches up at all. And so I looked, because I think there's been a lot of talk about what Centipedal is, because they never have given her a name other than his nickname for her. And so the closest I could find from a lot of people looking into it is Nephrite.
I think you have talked about this.
Okay, I might have. But bringing it up a little bit and for this one, is that a lot of it was seemed to connect to, like, friendship and harmony and courage. And I think some of that is more of what we see from Centipedal.
Yeah, now.
Now, and yeah. I think in continuing that, you know, we're not done with Centipedal because she's been bubbled. And I think it kind of fits into what I think of what her gem was at one point.
Yeah.
So I liked it.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. But anyway, okay, spoiler time. So before we go to that, for people that are listening to this as they watch Steven for the first time, thank you for being here. I hope you're liking the show. And keep watching because it does get...
It gets so intense.
It's so intense and so emotional and so lovely.
And so good.
Mm-hmm. And it's just like, if you're liking it so far or you like what they start doing, it just... Imagine it tenfold.
Yeah.
You can find us on Twitter at BerryBiscuitSU. You can email us at Steven or at strawberryandbiscuit@gmail.com. You can listen here. We're on iTunes and podcast.com and somewhere new.
SoundCloud? I mean, SoundCloud Listen. For the first few, I guess.
Yeah, and then someone else, I think Listen Now or something. It's on the RSS feed, which I still don't quite know what that means, but it's there. So feel free to join in if you want to say anything.
Yeah, talk to us.
How you react to stuff.
Email us, tweet us.
If you have any just like fun drawings or fan art that you've done, that's cool.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're going to move on to Spoiler Town.
Spoiler Town! So, let's start with Monster Buddies, because there's a lot in Indirect Kiss that I will get to. But Monster Buddies, okay, so Centipedal obviously is a recurring character and becomes more and more human-shaped as the series goes on.
Yeah.
And even gets to tell her story, and it's, like, really interesting. And I feel like something that occurred to me as we were watching this is that each time she's poofed, she comes back more human. And so I'm wondering if she's able to reform herself a little bit. You know, the way that when you're poofed, you can, like, reform yourself. Like, maybe she's able to make herself more human each time that happens. And also I think part of it is spending time in a rose quartz bubble, which is supposed to heal you.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. I was looking a lot at the bubbles this time because we mentioned it before. Now I got a good look. And so it's definitely rose bubbles and pearl bubbles are most of them.
Yeah.
But then there are a couple that were sort of, I think maybe blue. And I was wondering if that could be like a sapphire kind of one or someone under blue diamond.
Yeah.
It seems like it's
maybe
most...
even like bismuth or like.
Yeah. Yeah, I was kind of thinking about that. But it seems like most of them are done by Pearl or Garnet, who uses Rose's bubbles.
Or Rose, yeah.
Yeah, and so...
That
makes sense.
Steven, like, questioning the gems, or rather just, like, not doing what the gems do and trying to be friends with corrupted gems, like, I feel like that's huge foreshadowing for, like, the episodes we're about to watch, Mirror Gem and Ocean Gem, because it's, like, automatically when we see Lapis, the crystal gems are, like, fighting, or, like, they pull out their weapons.
Yeah, well, because...
Steven wants to be friends with her and wants to figure out what's going on.
Well, you think about that, too, if they talk about, you're talking about, like, nothing we've done so far has worked, but maybe someday, like, you'll do something that your mom didn't do and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about that, of, like, these are gems, these are war gems. You know, like, they've lived through wartime, and they are ready to battle and fight for the things that they have. And it's kind of like the next generation, like, you think about that, too. Like, next generation who has never known war, they might approach it with more with trust.
Yeah,
and so Steven going in with no intention or expectation of a fight kind of changed the game, and Centipedal responded positively.
Yeah.
So it is that kind of thing of maybe Steven coming in with this new thing will make something work that they've never been able to make work because they have all this other baggage clouding their perspective.
And just because he approaches it differently.
Yeah.
And
because they know...
With more trust and more...
Right. They're so used to... Their, like, daily life is they meet these corrupted gems that are wrecking stuff or that are violent, and so they're like, okay, we gotta stop it or else it will break something or hurt someone.
And also, if you look at it from, like, the fact that Garnet has been fighting to exist, you know, as herself, and Pearl has to fight to not be someone's slave, like, that's, like, their reaction is always fighting because they are so oppressed.
Well, it's kind of, I mean, you think about it with every, and sorry, I'm going in big things, but I think that's what the show kind of wants, is that you think about with every movement is like the first wave or the first couple waves have to fight and they have to be more aggressive. And the hope is that the next generation or the, you know, a couple generations will just be, you know, and so like the fighting has to happen for the next part, but then the next part, maybe by just being, it'll prevent more fighting,
it,
you know?
Like, it reminds me of two things. One was when you were talking about Centipedal and Garnet, Amethyst, and Pearl's reactions, and especially from being from wartime and stuff, like, the idea of, like, PTSD and how, like, especially Centipedal, her reaction to them taking out their weapons is, like, she's triggered and she's having anxiety and she's freaking out about it, like, she's back in the war. And Garnet, Amethyst, and Pearl are kind of the same, because when they see her, their automatic reaction is, we're in danger, and Steven's in danger. And the other thing it reminded me of is, like, LGBT rights. Like, you're saying, like, the first generation had to fight, and that made me think of, like, Stonewall and all that stuff, riots. And then my generation having to explain to my parents, like, oh, you know, I'm queer and what that means, and hoping that they'll accept me, and then hopefully in a couple generations not having to explain it at all and just being yourself.
I know. I was actually having that same that same kind of talk with my mom, too, of she was just asking more out of confusion of, because we were doing, like, non-binary kind of talk. Because, you know, some of my friends are now, and I'm trying to work it in, and she was asking just, like, well, I don't understand the need for the, like, all the new words, and then I kind of broke it down of this basic of, like, the hope is that maybe not this generation, but the next one, they won't even have to worry about it, you know, like, because he's like, we got to talk about it a lot right now, because then maybe it'll be just second nature down the line of, like, you won't even think about it because it'll be just so normal, you know. So it's just it's a lot of new stuff right now, because it's new right now. A new concept to a lot of people.
And
like her, and you know.
At so one point it won't be new anymore, it'll just be understood.
Exactly. And so I was, and
it's,
she was
it's
like,
a really
oh, yeah.
powerful metaphor.
Yeah, so, I love this show so much. It makes you think about, it applies
to
so many,
life.
Yeah, so many parts of it apply to so many different,
like,
real worlds.
Not even issues. Just like these issues, these like really like, world issues, it even applies to like life, where when you approach something, maybe not having to do it so aggressively because maybe you're not under attack.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful way to live life.
Yeah, it could be just like, again, just random tangent, but I was just at a pizza place during like rush hour, you know, everyone's there. Like dinner time, everyone's stressed, everyone, like, they just all got off traffic, everyone's mad, and I felt just in a good mood, so I was just nice, and everything worked out so smoothly, and it was one of those, like, if I was in a different mood, then that would have been unpleasant, but it wasn't, and it was fine.
Yeah, and just, the Steven way of life is just so pure and so good.
We can't always do it all the time, but
when it's good to project it when you can.
Yeah.
Wow, we're... Okay. We haven't even talked about Indirect Kiss. Okay.
Yeah, but I had one last thing about Monster Buddies that I thought was cute. Was the first opening scene when they're fighting the ice gem, it's like arm falls off, and Steven goes, oh, or something. Or like,
yeah,
it's
he's
arm.
Like, it's arm.
And he grabs his own arm.
Yeah.
And it was like that little, it felt like a little kind of like foreshadowing bit of his empathetic connection to people. Is that he...
That scene to this episode is what this episode is to the whole show. It's just this little marker of his character
that
is just going to blossom into something really beautiful and huge.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So indirect kiss.
Indirect kiss.
Okay, there's so much here. We were talking about Connie and like I think there's just a lot about, you know, when he talks about being human and how that's not enough, that affects Connie. In a later episode, she talks about it to Greg and says, you know, it's weird because she's a human in a world of gems, and Greg relates to that so much. And then it makes Steven touch his gem and say, like, human. And it's like, what does that mean? And who his identity. And it's just, like, starting off all these, like, really big themes that in his life.
I think those two parallel each other so much because, I mean, their insecurities are the same a lot of the time, too, of feeling like they're not enough.
Yeah.
Because they're surrounded by, because they both look up to the gems and everyone so much that they're like, they're so cool. Like, how can I be that cool? And then they're out in the audience going like, you are,
you're perfect.
Yeah.
Don't ever change.
But that makes sense. If you're around people that you really admire, you just assume that they must be cooler than you. And so like, so how could they like, you know,
ever be enough?
And you're like, no, you are.
Yeah. And, not to keep like, oh my God, this reminds me of my life. But like, as a disabled person, just thinking about like, oh, if I can't do this, am I enough? You know, it really ties into that because it's like, I've had this conversation with people all the time where it's like, you know, I'm never going to be the friend you go hiking with or like whatever. I like won't be able to do that. And, but is that okay? Am I still like, can I still hang out with you? And like Steven being like, if I'm not magical, if I can't do all this stuff, then I can't hang out with the gems. And it's like, no, they still love you, and it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter as much as you think.
That's why you're my friend. I want Steven Universe. I always like they use it really well.
Yeah.
But there's a little animation that they'll do with gems or people or any characters when they're going through something really tough. They always show a shot of their hand like gripping their leg. And it always, it's one of those ones that instantly, like, gets to your gut.
Yeah.
Of, like, I know, like,
exactly more what you're feeling.
Yeah, more than somebody's crying face or something. When they show the hand just, like, gripping their leg so hard, you just know that they're going through something, like, really, that they're really struggling with. And it conveys it so well.
So good. I think there's, like, the beginnings of that rift between Connie and Steven where, later on, she brings it up where she's like, I'm not magical, am I enough? And him being like, no, you are. And
mm-hmm.
And also, Connie, like, taking the lenses out of her glasses brings up a really huge Connie thing, which is that she feels like she has to be dishonest to her family about gem stuff because she's scared they won't get it. And later on, even... like, she tells them that Steven's in a nuclear family, and she tells them, like, she doesn't tell them about sword practice and all the stuff.
She's
and
pretty worried about their, like,
reaction.
Disapproval
or
possible disapproval.
Yeah, and so her taking her lenses out of her glasses instead of just throwing her glasses away, it's, like, mm-hmm. just this hint to that, again, this, like, overarching theme of Connie, which is, you know, fear that she won't be accepted or her friend won't be accepted.
Yeah,
it's so beautiful. Because it's like really relatable too.
Especially
Connie's parents. You know, she's Indian. I'm Indian. I'm like, I get it, girl. Like, they want to control every aspect of your life sometimes, and sometimes it feels easier to not explain. But I think she learns that there's nothing wrong with who Steven is, and she doesn't have to hide it.
Well, the two of them are, I mean, they're still such kids.
I know,
so they got a
they're
lot of,
babies.
They've got a lot of growth to do, and it's fun to watch that. It's fun to go back now and see them in such innocence.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just like...
they're probably like 11.
Yeah,
and
it's
like,
just, they're still in that phase where they just accept whatever is in front of them.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as it goes along, they start having...
Deeper thoughts about it.
Coming to their own conclusions or asking their own questions. But right now, it's just the world is as it is.
Yep.
The little babies.
Little babies.
There's also a good bit in this that, like, you were ribbing me as mm-hmm. we're watching it, but
yeah, Pearl.
With Pearl, yeah, and when Pearl gets Pearl. To the fountain and sees that everything's vines, she's freaking out.
She says, "Look at them, directionless and aimless without her, just clinging and she's clinging on to Garnet as uh-huh. she says it, and it's just like
oh, they're honey. Helpless without Rose's guidance.
And it's like, honey, it's a metaphor for you.
Yep, she's just it's that the upkeep of these like shrines that are left of Rose is like Pearl's way to just cling to her somehow.
Yeah.
Is that she wants to, you know, like they have the big portrait of her in the house. And yeah. It's just.
They often, and again, it like they talk about it more later, but even Garnet, I think, feels this like burden of like leadership where it's like, mm-hmm. we don't know what to do without her. And well, she left us without any real instructions, and we're just doing our best.
Yeah, none of them signed up to be the leader.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, it kind of makes me think franchises.
Oh, franchises. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I was watching Harry Potter the other day.
Yes.
And they're in the bit where they're looking for Horcruxes.
And Dumbledore's gone.
Yeah, and they're like, we thought you knew what you're doing. He's like, no, like, how would I know what I'm doing? Like, I'm just keep trying to make good decisions.
And you know, Harry never expected Dumbledore to leave. He thought exactly. he would be guiding him the whole time.
And, like, how would they know, unless a gem shatters, you know, none yeah. of them would have left. So
they didn't prepare for that. And
yeah.
I think they do feel directionless and alone and clinging.
Yeah, but they have the upside of kind of their growing bond of Steven. I think what I really didn't remember looking back on it now is that you really see them grow to care for Steven, mm. like, deeply.
Yeah.
Because in the beginning, it feels like they're more caring to him as, like, a duty.
Yeah.
And because he's, like, helpless, and so they have to keep him alive.
Yeah.
And, like, they do care about him, but I think it's more just that he's, like, grown on them.
Yeah, and they're attached to him.
They're attached to him, but, like, as it goes along, and what I'm more used to is that they, like, love him.
Yeah.
And he loves them. Like, he always loves them, but yeah. they get less aloof and less, like, focused on the job, and they get more focused on, like, the people they care about.
They stop being his protectors and start being his parents.
Yeah, exactly. Which is I didn't remember that is how that had to work. They had to.
It was
grow
a very
into
subtle
it.
Progression of like
yeah.
how they treat him and how they.
Because parents that. Are all a lot of you know, they have a lot of similarities of like don't do that, don't do this.
Yeah, and
come
it
over
feels
here
like
and let me do this,
the or, gems definitely were not expecting to be parents, and they're just like, no. Oh God, now
well,
we have to like take.
I mean, especially when we see the. Baby flashback.
Yeah.
They don't have a clue what to do with
yeah
them.
they're like
they don't know how babies work. They don't know how like what they want or what they how they learn or what they know.
Yeah
okay, well next week we're gonna have
a two-parter, Mirror Gem and Ocean Gem.
Yes, and that's just
super intense
everything, and gets a lot more answers and a lot more questions.
And if you haven't seen it since the first time you've watched this,
which I haven't, so
like you really should, because watching it again is amazing. It's still so raw and so intense. Oh.
So join
in
us
conclusion
for that one.
The show is amazing and we love it so much, and Rebecca Sugar, please call me.
And it will make you think about your life and your friends' lives,
yeah.
and everything, the world, society today, society tomorrow, and like the future for the generations to come.
Bye.
Bye.
Welcome to our TED Talk.